All right, well, this is the August 2005 monthly meeting of the Personal Telco Project. Thanks for coming. So, as you know, the Personal Telco Project is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization that promotes wireless internet in places like homes and libraries and businesses through volunteer efforts, through donations, and through just the goodwill of the city. And we're an educational nonprofit, so we're more about teaching people how to set this up rather than building it. But there's also a build the network element, which you'll hear a lot about tonight. And we've got some cool things to show you. We've got committee reports, and we've got a financial report, which I don't think has been done in many months. Who heard of the main speaker who's supposed to be here tonight? He's Scott Brown from the city of Sandy. Well, he canceled. So we got some extra free time. So instead, we're going to break up into work groups and tackle certain topics. But you'll see that. There'll be more later. And it should be in September when Scott's going to be able to come back and talk about the municipal wireless network that Sandy, Oregon is using. So, and with that, I guess we'll just go right to the agenda. So what's the first thing? So the first thing we do at every monthly meeting is find out who's new and ask them what they're interested in, why they came, things like that. So Joe McCann's going to do that right now.
So we're looking for new people. Anybody new here? It's just like new people. Yes, sir. You. What is your name? How are you? How'd you come here?
I'm Chris.
Hi, Chris.
How's it going?
How's it going? What are you here for?
Oh, if only. My skills are not that good. Now, I just learned about the Personal Telco Project. I've known about it about a year or so. I actually work for an ISP in Oregon City, and we have a wireless network that extends from Oregon City all the way into downtown Portland.
Wow!
So I just slowly learned about the Personal Telco Project, and it interested me a lot, so I decided to come and just check it out. I like the scene, I guess.
Cool. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next person. Yeah. Who was it? Who was it? There's a couple people over there.
Hey.
What's your name?
Will Illingworth.
Hello, Will.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
What are you here for?
PTP is awesome. I totally support it. My first meeting. Want to see how I can help out. I work for a local...
Got money?
No.
Ah, damn. Okay.
I do work for a local open source consultancy.
Ah, okay.
You know, I was meeting up with a client here, too, so...
Excellent.
Ulterior
Excellent.
Motives.
Okay. Good.
Hi there.
What's your name?
Derek Burns.
Hi, Derek. I'm Joe.
Howdy, Joe.
Welcome.
Thank you. I live up in the Alberta Street neighborhood.
Okay.
Sandwiched right between the Humboldt Elementary School and PCC Cascade.
Oh, okay.
And I've heard about the Telco Project a little while ago. Read about what's happening on a Mississippi Street. It's fascinating. I want to get involved.
Cool.
Potentially become, you know, a hub and extend wireless service to people in my neighborhood if possible.
Excellent. Yep. Excellent. That's great. Thanks, Derek. Right. Okay.
Hi.
Hello. Who are you?
My name's Dan.
Yay! Hi, Dan. I'm Joe.
Hi, Joe.
What are you here for?
Find out a little bit more. See
cool.
what it's your meetings are like. I talked to a few people at OSCON.
Mm-hmm.
I was working in a booth for the Portland Linux Unix Group, not to be confused with Portland Linux Unix Group.
That's good. That's not confusing.
No,
okay.
not at all.
That's good.
We only get, you know, small flame wars about, like, your name is too similar. You need to change your name.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, welcome.
Okay.
Excellent. Who else? Who else? Anybody? Anybody? Oh, yes. New people over here.
Now, my name is Gary Poole. I'm from White Rose Productions, and I'm a member of Kaifu. And Aaron just gave a talk there, and kind of I've been lurking around the list, and I figured it's time I showed up.
Excellent. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Shireen Antoinette, and I'm here just to learn more about Personal Telco and how I might be able to pitch in and help as far as extending the wireless network.
That's what we want. Thank you. Thank you all very much. For the people who are interested in doing stuff, remember this is an all-volunteer and incredibly chaotic organization, and so if you want to get something done, you just have to talk to somebody and just like start doing it. And it will give you context for everything you want to do, but it's just like sometimes you just got to start doing it yourself. And it's like people go, oh, yeah, cool, I'll help you with that. And that's kind of some of the way sometimes a lot of things around here get done. So welcome. And this is the beginning of the meeting, and let's go. Next.
Next on the agenda.
All right, well, what's up next is updates from two departments. And one is the education department, and the other is the networking department. The networking guy is not here yet, so we'll start with education. So that's Tom Higgins. He is?
Who's here? Keegan's here? Keegan Quinn. Well, we can talk to him outside. Hang on, let's bring the mic out so we can say hi to Keegan. Okay, we're going to step outside now here at PO4 Urban Grind. 22nd Oregon, how's it going, Keegan?
It's going great.
You got a haircut.
I did.
Okay, you want to talk first or should I talk first?
You can talk first.
All right, I'll talk first.
Talking.
Not talking to you.
Keegan is taking a smoke break.
He's legal, and he has a haircut, so that's pretty cool. So you'll get to see Keegan's haircut in a couple minutes. Oh, okay. Education. We got a couple things going on with education. We have, you can just back it off just a tiny little bit. Hello? Hello? Perfect, thank you. Education, we have a couple things that need working on. One, in the last two or three years, we kind of did an explosion of nodes. Last year at this time, we were doing four or five nodes a month. It was crazy. Since then, we've kind of slowed down, and we're up to the point now where we need to look back at the nodes we put in and do kind of a census, kind of like in the Bible when they had everyone come and do that whole census counting thing. We need to go out to the four corners of the earth in Portland and check all the nodes, make sure they're still running, check that the radios are still good, the SSIDs are still valid, the NoCat splash pages are coming up, and that they even just exist. I've heard rumor that one of our nodes at PGE Park is non-existent. Anyone use that node? PG Park? Moonlights. Yeah, Moonlight Staffing. Anyone use it recently?
Same thing as Civic Stadium?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. Have you used the node recently?
No.
No. No one has. So the node might be gone. And that's one of the things that we need to start thinking about is just doing a check of the nodes. So if you guys are at all interested, and this is a really good opportunity if you're new to the group to actually go to the different parts of Portland and see where all the nodes are, because we literally have tens, almost 100 nodes sitting out there, and you know I have not even been to all of them. So if you want to actually explore the nodes of the PTP, come get a hold of me or email me, tom@personaltelco.net. And we can organize kind of a weekend or a couple of weekends where we can go out, hit the nodes, check them out. If you live by nodes, you can kind of do like a baseball collecting card type of thing. You know, collect them all, get nothing, but collect them all.
Education update.
That was part of education. I was rolling it in. Now, as for education update, we have something called Personal Telco University, of which a few of you guys have gone through. And it's kind of dusty at the moment. Some of the stuff we're teaching is kind of out of date. There's some new stuff we have to pull together. Keegan's working on some new network stuff, so we have to have the courseware reflect that. We're looking for people to help out in rewriting the PTPU courseware, do some beta testing of it, and actually make sure it works well before we pull on another big PTPU class. If you guys aren't familiar, every once in a while we actually have an 8-week seminar. It's 8 Mondays in a row or 8 weeks in a row where we have one night a week. We teach everything from basic RF to how to build a node, how to put up an antenna, how to find nodes, and the basic philosophy of the PTP. So that's PTPU. So if you're interested in helping recreate and kind of vet the material we have for the next round of the university, get a hold of me or Don, and we can start putting together a committee and work on that in the next couple of weeks. Yes? What code is it written in? Actually, this is actual just knowledge transfer. There is code to it, but it's not. No, this is actually, we actually have a classroom where we get bodies together and we teach, like, how to, you know, what is radio propagation, and we start from the basics and work it all the way up to the point where you can sit down with a computer and make it into a PTP node, and then how to go to a business owner and say, hi, you want to run this in your shop. You want to pay for DSL, and you want to give your neighbors free Wi-Fi, and teach you guys how to connect those together to build the network that we're really secretly building to cover the entire world.
What else?
There are no scheduled play dates. Usually, if you guys aren't familiar, we have these days where we kind of either descend here or in some big location, and we get our hands dirty with gear. We play around with stuff. Rick brings a truckload of equipment. If you guys are at all interested in that, I need to hear some interest that you guys are interested. If you have topics that you want to learn about, voice them. Get them to know. Sit down with me. We'll talk about them. I don't want to just run a play date just to run a play date. I want to have something you guys really want. So if you have a desire to learn something or a topic that you want to get more into or stuff you just want to play around with and show, like, as a science fair type thing, let me know. We'll schedule one up and we can do it. But you guys got to be interested first before we actually do something. We can't think of anything else. So, now?
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. The next report is from the networking department. Our network engineer is Keegan Quinn.
Hello, I'm Keegan. I have news about our servers. Lots of things have happened to them in the past couple of months. To the microphone, Keegan. Thank you very much. All right. Well, here. First off, we have Herod, which is a Subversion server since March. Jimmy, the host of Herod, moved to a new house up in northeast Portland, so it was down for a couple of days. Well, the DSL was moved. It's back up now, and it's been moved into a permanent data center. Next off, Bone crashed terribly at the end of June, and the main board failed in the beginning in early July. So that would almost be better right now. No. It is running. No, anyway, the hard disks from Bone were moved into a new cab box, which is a 300 megahertz Pentium 2, and it's back up. So after that happened, it became painfully obvious we need a new server. So, Donk was constructed, and thanks to Aaron. And this is an AMD Sempron 1.6 gigahertz with a gig of RAM and two 200 gig hard disks. So this will be a great improvement. We're currently waiting for a new co-location facility, which is still being negotiated, I believe. So anyway, it's expected to be running in early September, probably the first couple weeks. Web and email would be moved onto the new server once it's up. I also have another new box at my house named Elbereth, and this will be taking over other miscellaneous services from Bone. So after all that happens, Bone is going to be shut down and taken offline. What's that? Long live Bone. Bone is dying. Yes. And so if you have anything running on Bone, it needs to be off of Bone sometime in the near future. It should be offline probably by the end of September, I was thinking. Yes, do that. I'll be handling email transitions and such, so if you get mail on there, you'll be getting mail from me or Aaron in the near future.
Data won't The data won't actually be lost, but it would be to your benefit to make sure that if you have data on bone, that you're in charge of it.
This is true. All right. Any questions?
I know we have SFTP running on it, but for those of us who are running Windows on occasion, can we put a standard secure non-SFTP server on there so we can easily migrate our data?
No.
I like Tom's answer.
Use SFTP.
You can get FileZilla, which will do that for you on Windows.
Putty will do it for you as well.
FileZilla.sourceforge.net. Send Aaron an email. Bother him about it, not me. Or just go to his house and plug into the damn thing. Pull the hard disk out. He can probably zip it for you too if you really need Windows.
Yeah, we have to do a key signing.
You missed it all.
Any other questions? All right, thanks.
So Keegan.
Yes.
Builder.
What about it?
How's Builder doing?
Stagnant.
Whole process.
What is Builder? Builder is the program we use to put together personal telco nodes. And it's just a little shell script. I wrote it. Yeah. You can read it in Subversion right now. It's not very well documented. Is there? Oh, that's right. There's a little bit. I wouldn't recommend reading it, though. It's outdated.
So did you get the Sarge stuff cut over?
Yes. Everything's running Sarge now.
Yay.
Sarge is good. Sarge is done. That's Debian 3.1.
What?
Kernel? 2.4.18. No, 2.4.27.
Tom, you're running
Windows. The 2.6 migration is coming along. Oh, the brand new box is up 2.6.8. But, yeah. Other questions about Builder or any of this? Troy.
Bone used to have quite a few VPN connections, I think, connected into it. What's the preferred server to create VPN connections to right now?
Bone hasn't been doing much VPN stuff. That's actually Cornerstone. Yeah. And Cornerstone isn't changing very much. Send me an email to get access to it, and we can get you set up with PHPNet stuff. The routing is pretty badly broken right now, but the VPN tunnels do work, so, yeah.
So Keegan, just to tell some folk, what does the VPN tunneling get us? What's the master plan for that?
Things like the idea is that you'll be able to communicate between nodes as end users to be able to more effectively use our internal IP space, which we've been so diligently allocating for the past few years. And it just opens up some new possibilities for local applications and that type of thing.
Like iTunes across nodes.
Yay. iTunes across nodes, yeah. And
or
there's
Quick 3 or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Have you checked out, Aaron, what was that thing called? Avahi? The new ZeroConf thing?
Avahi.
Avahi, a new ZeroConf
Bonjour.
Implementation?
Not ZeroConf.
But it does, was that?
Bonjour. It's not called ZeroConf anymore.
Well, no, ZeroConf is the standard. Bonjour is what Apple marketing wants called. Yeah, screw those guys. But part of Avahi does across subnet reflection of local content rendezvous stuff or ZeroConf stuff.
There was a hack for the original implementation to do that too. But yeah, I hear Avahi does it nicely, which is a good thing. Anything else?
Thank you. All right, thanks, Keegan Quinn.
So,
all right, we get a little more AV here. This is the finance update for personal telco, and we have a couple slides to go along with that. So, you know, Personal Telco is a nonprofit, but we do have a little bit of money, and we actually make a little bit of money. I don't know if you knew that.
Start the slideshow, Tom.
Yeah, start a slideshow, please.
The slideshow, as you know.
Okay, we have two accounts. We have a Washington Mutual account and a PayPal account. So let's get right to the numbers. So next slide, please. In our Washington Mutual account, we have $1,053. Woohoo! Where did this money come from? Anybody know? Donations. In fact, at the last meeting, a generous person paid $500 to be a member. As a membership, you either host a node or you pay a certain amount of money, $500, and you're a member. The idea is nobody would actually pay that amount. It'd be so much easier just to build your own node, but it didn't actually work out that way. Yeah. Okay, so that's one of our accounts. Next slide, please. Now, we have a PayPal account as well, $600 there. So we have a little bit of money, and what we need to do is organize a system to collect requests. So if you guys have ideas, for instance, where to set up the next hotspot, someplace that really needs it, we have a little bit of money for gear, a little bit of money for extracurricular projects. We also have ongoing expenses, though. We have a U-Store location, right off of the band field, you know, that huge building with the rose painted on one side of it. We have a room in there filled with PCs, right? Pentium 3s. So we can use that for new nodes. So if a cafe or whatever needs a new Linux box, we've got hardware for that. Another ongoing expense is we have a PO box. And then just to be a corporation, you have to pay a filing fee every year. It's pretty minimal. I'm not sure what it is, but it's minimal. So, $50 a year, okay. And we owe it, okay. So our expenses are pretty minimal, so there is some opportunity to get something funded. So if you have an idea, email it to treasurer@personaltelco.net. Okay, next slide. This, actually, I'll let Michael talk about maybe a little bit later. Do you want to talk about it now or later?
Sure, sure.
Okay, Michael's going to talk about the grant project.
I think you took that money out of the other account.
Yes.
Okay, so the Mississippi Grant Project, also known as the Historic Mississippi Community Network, I think. Let me check the card. Yes, that's correct. Historic Mississippi Community Network. I named it that late one night because somebody wanted an acronym. It didn't like MGP, so.
You were drunk.
No, I wasn't, actually. That's really loud. Can that be less loud? So the Mississippi Grant Project is this project to build a network along Mississippi Avenue in North Portland and to teach people who live in the neighborhood and work in the neighborhood how to maintain it so that at the end of a year, they get it and can take care of it, and we just have to go make periodic updates to make it match everything else we're doing. And hopefully this will be a great model for doing lots of neighborhoods, and eventually we'll have the whole city of Portland connected, just like what we do here, or maybe not like what we do here if this ends up not working well. But it's a learning experience for everyone, me included, especially maybe. And so that's how much money we've spent, and that's how much is left from the grant. The grant was for $14,500 or something dollars. Somebody can do the math on that. I'm not going to bother. Exactly. So far we've... We've bought a bunch of equipment. There are currently five metrics boxes in play. Well, I guess four metrics boxes. Troy, how many metrics boxes do you have? Okay, there are three metrics boxes in play. We own five. These are boxes with two radios in them. We can attach two different antennas, and each radio is an ABG radio, so it can do either A or B or G and B together, or I guess G only, like that would matter. So we're using these to interconnect points, rooftop points. So there's those three radios are up, and then we've got three Ciscos that were donated by Intel, which we're also putting up. Those are not included in the money we have to spend because those were free. And then we bought a bunch of antenna equipment and mounting stuff to mount these. That's what we've done so far. We also have a server that was donated by somebody or other that's in the... Mentor Graphics donated the server that we've got running DHCP, and it'll eventually run a lot more processes there because we want to set up a bunch of functions on the network so that in addition to just doing, getting on the internet, you can also browse local blogs, have like a community bulletin board, maybe have local copyright-free music or open copyright music on the network there for people to enjoy. We want to involve the businesses in the area and the residents in deciding what services go on that as well. So there's a lot to be done there that doesn't have anything to do with the money and doesn't have anything to do with the actual programming of things and setting up of radios, but there's plenty of that to do still, too. What's going on there, guys? Okay. That's how much we've spent. We've got more to spend on more gear. It's all earmarked and stuff, but there's room to sort of wiggle things if there's new ideas that come along. Dat, you have a question? Ad space is very expensive, so I don't know if we actually have enough to do an ad, like, but yeah, I mean, that we have. There's money currently allocated for doing like publicity campaigns, like word of mouth, and or walking around and passing things out. I don't know if we really can afford to do an ad. I've looked at that before for other things, and it's insanely expensive. But if you've heard that and you want to look into that, that would be awesome. I wrote the grant, and the grant was provided by the Meyer Memorial Trust. Are there more questions? Now we're on something totally different.
So, Mike, what's the timeline like for the project?
The timeline? We want to get the rest of the antennas up on rooftops before it starts to rain, which it already has started to rain. But hopefully we've got through the end of the next month before we are cold and wet every weekend. So there's a lot to get done. We need people who are interested in either this Saturday or next weekend. I realize this weekend is kind of a big party, go out of town weekend. So I'm fully expecting that next week will be a better one. But we need people to go out there, and we got a couple rooftops identified that people are like, I want people to climb my rooftop and look at stuff and see if it'll work. So if you're interested in getting on a rooftop, if you're interested in not getting on a rooftop and standing on the ground and helping out, if you're interested in going to talk to various businesses in the area, I think we're going to also try to get up and down the block, up and down Mississippi that day and let people know that this is on. There's a radio that I have that's waiting to be put up on a mast. There's a lot of cool stuff to do. If you're interested in doing that this weekend or next weekend, talk to me here. I'll give you my email address. If you aren't sure and you want to email me later, let me know. We don't currently have a tower, but if we had a tower, we know of a tower. Yeah.
Hang on.
He has experience climbing towers.
He beat me to it.
Yeah. I have the safety equipment and everything. I just not certified to do it. Medical? Yes.
Because we don't.
I'm covered. It does cover stupidity. It does.
Yeah. Okay, so if people don't have questions, that's what I have to say right now. Troy has a question or a comment
on the status of those metrics boxes. One of them is now upgraded with the new firmware image that we're using. It's ready to go on wherever it's going to go. It just needs an IP address and whatnot. The other one, the second radio, is still bricked. I'm working on it, and if necessary, I'll contribute to buy a new radio for it and get it all set up and ready to go. But I've also been having problems using a Broadcom card with those Atheros boxes. I can't connect to the APs at all. I've connected to the Cisco, but I don't know if anybody uses Broadcom. You might have problems connecting to us.
So Windows Broadcom is okay, but under... We don't know.
If you have a Windows machine with Broadcom card, please go to Mississippi and try to connect to the network.
Yeah, in fact, if
all right.
Mike, should we actually set up something sometime soon to do like kind of a everyone bring every type of laptop known to man?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Kind of do kind of like a we've tested this network with these setups.
Yeah, that's something we can do that day that we go up there. I want to get like tons of people up there on one day when it's sunny and not pouring rain on us like it has every other time we've tried it. And and just have people all over the place taking care of all sorts of things all at once when everybody's kind of available. So if you need a little extra hand here, a little extra hand there, there are people around, people have questions that one person can't answer, somebody else can answer it. Because having three people up there at a time is okay, but it's not nearly as effective as when we've got an army.
So are we shooting for the education part of this for winterish?
Yes, the education part. There will be a whole education part where we bring people to something like PTPU or a real PTPU. I don't know what the difference would be. But there's this whole education thing. So if you're interested in just kind of helping people and training them and teaching them, that's another opportunity that's going to be coming down the pike. But right now, the big thing is getting on that street while it's still sunny and working with people that live in the area. All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Sure. And if you haven't been to Mississippi in the last two or three years, oh boy, will you be surprised.
It's wet.
Okay, to continue with the finance bit, before I said that personal telco makes money. So how does personal telco make money? Do we charge for access? No! Can you tell from that screen how we currently have a small income? Yeah, what's on the top? AdSense. Google AdSense. Now, how many people have been to the wiki and used the wiki? Some of you have used the wiki? Half of you have used the wiki? All right. So a while ago, somebody had the great idea to add an AdSense banner to the personal telco wiki. Anytime somebody clicks on that ad, you know, page views cost nothing. We get nothing from that, even if we get a zillion page views. Only clicks matter. Anytime somebody clicks on that, we get anywhere between a nickel and, like, say, 50 cents.
Woohoo! Don't everybody click on it.
Yeah, if everyone clicks on it, the Google AdSense is very smart about detecting fraud. So.
We're definitely not advocating doing click-through fraud, but
right.
If you see something that interests you, for God's sake, click.
Yeah, you don't click at all. I've never clicked on the banners. Okay, so can we go back to the slides? So right now, to cover those basic expenses like the P.O. box and the used storage, business cards, a couple of things, it's AdSense. So the next slide, please. So in July of this year, AdSense made personal telco $2 a day.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, that's something. That pays for something. And in August, to date, we've made $4 a day. So, it's interesting. It's interesting the way it goes. Yeah, when we get hit on by the Oregonian, when we get linked to, that all helps. Okay, I think that's about it. What's the next slide? Oh, that's it. Yeah, we have no way of knowing who does the clicking, or even what ads they click on. Okay, can you... Oh, is that the meeting? What's next? I think we're going to take a break. Oh, yeah, okay. So next we'll talk about the update for the Pioneer Courthouse Square. Woo-hoo. Did you all see the Oregonian story that the Pioneer Courthouse Square is going down? That was the front page of the business section in the Oregonian about a week ago, week and a half ago. That letter was great. It generated so much interest for us. We had like 6-7 different businesses come and say, personal telco is great. We want to support you guys. We have an office right by the square. Come use us. So it generated a lot of interest. It was really cool. And so Michael took on the initial work of answering these people and checking out some office space, and then I checked out a few others later. The first one we looked at seriously was in the Fox Tower. This is a Portland family of funds. It's an offshoot of the Portland Development Commission. They're in the Fox Tower, right? Yeah, question? You used to work in that building. Okay. Well, there's that. They have leaded glass. And the reason why it's important, I'll get to in a second. So the Fox Tower, right? You've seen it's downtown, huge, beautiful, brand new tower. It's got a theater in the basement. Yeah, and leaded windows. So they had a beautiful cafeteria right on the edge, right? Line of sight to the square. It was going to be great. And then
leaded Keegan, windows.
Michael and Tyler both went out to check it out. Yeah.
Shooting between the windows? Testing 1, 2, 3?
Yeah. Rest of the things.
What's that?
Rest of the things. Barns.
Are they? I've done that before, and you shoot between them through the wall.
No, off you shot underneath. Oh. You try shooting through the wall underneath.
Right.
No.
Oh, okay, what is it?
Metallic coated.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're metallic coated windows. So what happened was someone with a laptop, well, it was Keegan, with a laptop with a 100 milliwatt card in a laptop, put an antenna on the face of the glass. Somebody else went down to the square and tried to pick up the signal. And they got zero, nada. Even though, you know, distance-wise, it wasn't that big. So we moved on. And there's another building called the American Bank Building just north of the square. And two different people in the same building said, hey, we've got an office that looks right over the square. Come use us. So on the second floor is SRG Partnership. They're an architecture firm. And on the top floor, the very top floor, is a law firm. And so we checked both places out. The building's very old, so it's single plane glass. This is actually really scary, right? We're on the 14th floor in their conference room. Yeah, you're at the top of the building, right? You know, 14 floors up, and you can look down, and it's like single plane, like wood frame, you know, right there. It's just you lean on it wrong, and you're dead.
Can you open the window for
the building?
No.
Really? Yeah. So Michael is leaning out the window. So great line of sight, not much space to put gear. We had to decide between one of these places to run the DSL to. Easy Street, the great ISP who supported us for a long time, is donating a DSL line, and they have been for the last location, which is the Portland Business Alliance. So they said, you know, you guys find an office, and wherever it's at, we'll run a free Quest line, naked DSL, plus the DSL service itself for free, just so you guys can have Pioneer Square node. So I thought that was pretty cool. So we picked a place, the second floor. Oh, question? Yeah. Okay. Thanks. So we picked the SRG Partnership, and they're on the second floor. They've got great coverage of the square, and there's a really cool IT manager named Greg Moore. He's got space to put gear, and there's a little the hallway we have to cross with LMR cable. It's going to be kind of tough, but he's going to work on that. And it's going to be great. So the line's been ordered, and in a couple of weeks we'll have the gear there set up, and the Pioneer Courthouse Square node will return. That.
Yeah. Have we... Thanks. First time here. No, I'm kidding. This is really hard. I'll just speak out loud. Have we tested when a light rail train goes by? Because the second floor is close, and I've had issues where if even a streetcar train goes by, I lose my Wi-Fi connection immediately.
Yeah, that's a good point. We did think about that, and we did make sure that a MAX train went by. And their second floor is more like a third floor in a normal building. Yeah, so it can see over the power lines. So.
That's why you don't have the power plugs.
We also had that same problem with the PG Park node. Remember moonlighting? You guys had to get up top.
We got negative 60 to negative 70 dBm signal strength on each of the four corners of the square, so the whole thing should be covered.
So where is it in relationship to, if you're looking, it's north of the square? Or?
Yeah, it's straight north of the square. Right, there's a Swatch store and an ATM machine at the base.
Yeah.
And a cell phone store, I think.
Verizon,
yeah. So it's that building.
Sweet.
How powerful was the radio you were using to do the site survey?
We were using a standard Netgear WGT634U. So it's a 30 milliwatt Atheros.
It's a cheap off-the-shelf card. If that works, anything's going to work.
So, yeah, and what we're installing is 100 milliwatt.
Right.
So it should be even better.
We don't have 100 milliwatt.
I think Keegan's
understood. Is it 200? Oh, it might be 200. Okay.
Are we using the same gear from the old Pio Square?
Right, we're moving the same gear.
Okay. I don't think it was 200, but it was the cool sector antenna. And
all right.
Hang on. Let's go. Okay, now it's time of the show where we ask Keegan. Hang on a sec. Let's get to Keegan. Keegan, what radio is in Pioneer Square, or was in Pioneer Square?
That would be a Sanao 200 milliwatt 802.11b radio.
Ding, ding, ding. 200 milliwatts an hour. Let's say it. 200 milliwatts an hour.
CX connectors.
It has two?
Yeah. It does.
So can we hook up two antennas?
In theory.
I like how he says that.
All right. So
if they were very, very similar antennas, yes.
The time now is 7:05. So what we're going to do is take a break. Now, after the break, what we've got is a personal telco promotional video. This is going to be pretty fun. A video that was made a couple weekends ago, and we're going to play it here tonight.
Woo!
What? Yeah, instructional.
You guys got these guys got to see the move file. Remember, we cut the move files beforehand.
Right.
Don actually did a little test rehearsal. That's what I posted up to the channel.
Its main purpose is to inspire people to do something better. And then we're also going to break into four groups and work on a particular topic, but we'll talk more about that after the break in about 10, 15 minutes. Thanks.
During the break, do not forget to order yourself a nice cold macchiato. Yes, macchiatos are always... We're almost out of ice milk, so get your macchiatos while you can. And don't forget, Ian is working the counter tonight. Let's hear it for Ian. Okay, so... I won't give you a real name. Okay, so over here at the table, I'm just doing this because we're podcasting, and to fill the time. Mystery Person X.
My name is Bob the Wonder Horse.
Bob the Wonder Horse has actually taken an image from the net and now has Mac OS X running on an Intel platform. Is this correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So what were the steps you needed to do to make this happen?
Get the developer kit, install it, make it work. Now, if you don't have a developer kit, there are ISOs, disk images you can get off the web. You need a separate drive and do a Linux box and do a DD. And if you don't know what a DD is, it's a disk dump. To your new drive, you need a 6-gig image. Boot it, you're done.
And you do need a separate hard drive for it.
Currently, to make it work properly, yes.
Now, what hardware is supported?
So far, on my desktop, it's a 915 chipset. 915 chipset with a 3.4 gigahertz hyper-threading P4. My notebook is a Centrino with 855 GME. The graphics are supported just fine. Get full 3D acceleration. The sound, no wireless as of yet. The GMA 900, the graphics chipset, the new one, with the 945 chipset from Intel is where it's targeted at, and it runs circles around PowerPC. Circles. On my desktop at home, I can run PowerPC applications via Rosetta. I can run Linux applications via the BSD. I can run Windows applications via Wine. And native x86 OS Darwin applications.
So that's all under the OS X running on Intel?
Yes, native speeds.
So let's take a peek at this just so we can verify that it is indeed running. There it is, yes, and there. Well, let's see the cool little thing on the bottom. Yeah, there you go. Ooh, oh, wow. It's an yes, I can tell it's Apple because my eyes are burning.
Sounds fair.
So there you have it. If you want to take a look at an Intel platform running OS X, it's sitting right here from Bob the Wonder User. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
You can't carry LCD stuff. Caleb, how you doing? So what is the status of YCAP?
Status of YCAP.
And what is it? Just describe it.
YCAP PHP is a PHP version of YCAP, which was written by a guy for a specific purpose, and then he stopped maintaining it.
What is that?
It's a captive portal. So YCAP PHP is my version for OpenBSD, and it's doing all right. I just completely rewrote it in C, so it's kind of unstable, I suppose, right now. But I guess that also means it's a lot more flexible and it's faster and that sort of thing.
How does it compare to NoCat as far as feature set and what it can do?
Well, it's probably more analogous to NoCat Splash than NoCat. The main difference being that it doesn't try to be its own HTTP server. You have to use Apache with PHP. So it has more overhead in that area. But since most of that stuff comes standard with OpenBSD, it's It works really well and way better than NoCat Splash if you want to use OpenBSD. But if you want to use Linux, you should probably use NoCat because it's probably a lot more stable and more people use it.
So have you tried using it on Darwin?
Darwin? No, I don't.
Is it the BSD?
Right. I don't have a Mac to test it on though.
Okay, we're going to try something a little different. We're going to break up into groups, and there's four topics. Although this center group might be the hardware topic. Okay, the first task we need to get done is the audit of existing PTP nodes. So this is one of the topics I'd like people to get together in a group about and decide who's interested in this project and set a couple of milestones and then break up and discuss with everyone else what you've done so far. So who's most interested in that? Okay. All right, so Tom's going to lead that topic. The other topic is moving PC hardware. So like I said, we have a U-Store full of boxes. The city of Portland, which is DAT, is going to donate another how many boxes?
30.
Okay, 30. So we've got storage in Tom's house to move all these boxes. We need to organize who can help and when. So DAT, can you be in charge of that topic? Okay, so that's the second topic. Okay, and basically, if you're interested in a topic, as soon as we mention the other two topics, just go to whatever group you want to be a part of. So the third topic is the Personal Telco University. Is anyone here who went through Personal Telco University? I thought I saw one guy. No, maybe not. Oh, Marty. All right. So we need to come up with more ideas about what needs to be in the course for Personal Telco University. It's a 10-week course, and we've already run through it twice. So we have some material on the wiki, but if you have new ideas about what should be taught to people who really want to become volunteers of Personal Telco. It was really fun and exciting, and it brought in some new people. And not just new people, but like really knowledgeable, capable volunteers. So if you really want to help a Personal Telco and build a node and be part of the ops team, et cetera, go through this Personal Telco University, which will be happening in January. So Marty is going to lead that group. Is that all right? Oh, well. Okay. And the final topic, unless somebody has a better idea, the website. How can the website be improved? Because people complain about the wiki is hard to use, right? The node page gets a lot of usage. Is somebody interested in that topic? All right, nobody. Let's kill that topic. Okay, so we just have three topics. Relocating hardware, the audit of nodes, and Personal Telco University. So PTPU here, relocating hardware is DAT, and auditing of nodes is Tom. All right, so we'll do this until 7:40, let's say, and then we'll do little reports, and then we'll play the video, and that'll be it. All right, thanks. Okay, time is up for our four groups. We actually have an ad hoc hardware group down in front. So if we can have people come gather around again, we can do reports. If people gather around the stage, we'll go over what people talked about.
Closer the better.
The first group that's going to talk is the PC moving two rooms full of PCs into somebody's house.
Two rooms?
Well, the U-Store and...
We can do that second. We can do that second.
Are you going to talk about it?
What he was saying. You want to talk about it?
All right, here you go, Dad.
Ironically enough, Sunday, September 11th, we're going to take down the towers of PCs.
Oh, my name is Dat Nguyen.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
So Sunday, September 11th, we're going to go to the U-Store storage facility, move the towers over to Aaron Bear's house temporarily, and then Monday we're going to move the PCs to Tom Higgins' house. We still need people with pickup trucks and things like that. So I know gas is high, but, you know, you can probably write off as a...
Oh.
Or a van, a creepy van.
Huh?
Okay. Okay. And we need bodies. And I'd be willing to buy a six-pack of beer if you're legal age.
All right, Dad. Thanks.
Thanks, Dad. The second group. Second group's going to audit every single personal telco node on the maps page. Woo. Talk about that. It's Tom Higgins.
So here's the concept, right? Jason MacArthur's done the hard work. He came up with an XML file to make the map on the Google Map interface. The pipe dream here, and I think we can do it, is we're going to go around to the nodes, and we're going to start distributed so people can do it and report back in. We're going to get the XML file to have a small tag that says when last this was verified. Instead of just seeing a red blob on the map, you'll see a coded color that will let you know when the last verification of that node was. So if a node hasn't been verified in 3 or 4 months, the little thing is going to look like a little sad red face or something. We'll come up with something. And if the node was verified 2 minutes ago, you see this big happy green thing. Yes, come use me. I'm good. And that's the idea of going around, and we're going to break up and look on the mailing list for any message with the title Node Audit, and that will be about what we're doing. But that's the goal, is to have the map reflect the actual state of the network and the nodes. Yes, we were going to, in the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks, start, we're going to distribute what we've done before with the old wiki pages, see if we can use that as a data entry thing, look at Jason's XML file, see if we can add a tag, and then I'm going to talk to Jason to see how hard it would be to put the different GIFs or JPEGs up, little colored ones. So there you go.
Thanks. Oh.
Yes. When are we going to see a report on node statistics again? That's a good question. I actually sat down about 2 months ago and tried to do one. The logs are a little dusty, and my script kind of choked on a couple of things. I need to sit down with Keegan and actually come out with a decent way of doing it that works with what he's working with, because I don't want to duplicate the wheel. Keegan's doing great work, and I want the data to actually make sense. The stuff I was doing 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, actually made sense, but there was nodes not being reported. And over time, some of the nodes, they're just running Linksys. They're not reporting usage because they're not tied into Nagios or NoCat or anything. We need to fix that, yeah. So over time, that will get better. But until then, just use your nodes anyway.
Okay. Hello. The last group is Personal Telco University Coursework, which I think is this table over here. Is there someone who can give a little summary? All right, Marty, PTPU graduate.
Marty Sermon here. I attended PTP University, and I'm not sure what we decided. We have different backgrounds, and in fact, that's probably the biggest problem with PTP University is that we are coming from such diverse backgrounds, and the skills that it takes to put together a PTP node are so varied that it is really perhaps beyond the scope of one PTP class. So I don't think we really discussed this thoroughly, but I think maybe. Perhaps the goal would be to take parts of putting together a node, such as. We didn't get to that part yet. We're not agreeing on anything. Okay. Let me just first say that, for example, my own what I need to. To have more is more skill with Linux, and which is probably a pretty necessary ingredient to doing well with putting together a PTP node. And if I was better with that, then the other issues could be attacked individually, I think. So I'm thinking that maybe the components of putting together a node should probably be broken down a little bit. I'm not sure. I suspect there'd be enough people who would want to take individual classes like Linux. Is somebody good at teaching Linux?
Yeah, sure. Pretty
Okay. So can we get somebody? Could we get somebody to do that? Okay. Okay. Well, that's, and then maybe we need to spell out these resources also.
There's a Martin.
You stop.
There is a resource that has that started. When Darren has been doing these, he's put the agendas for each particular meeting so far on the wiki, and so the first level of that is probably fairly well structured, and I think that if there was a group that was interested in using that resource and doing a lot of the stuff that you're talking about and build onto that, that, or you know, or say, well, this is, you know, we need to add a whole nother section here, or we need to whatever, how that process happens. I think that's an awesome idea, because you're probably right, because you took the class.
You know, and another thing that instructors need to realize is I think these PTP people, you guys are experts, and far more better experts than you find in most places. And plus, you've probably been pretty much self-bootstrapping. And that's not a very very common skill anymore.
Yeah.
So you are in a class above your students in many ways.
Thank you. Thank you for the comment, the personal logo.
Well, I know.
So Marty, you're thinking like even before PTPU, there should be a Linux foo get started with Linux thing. Yeah, and Free Geek.
University classes.
Right.
Well, the problem is the Linux part would have to start at a level that could take itself 8 weeks.
Right. Exactly. So exactly.
Oh, sure.
Free Geek's already doing a good job.
Yeah. We'll do it. Absolutely.
Change their curriculum to actually include some wireless right now.
That's not going
to
happen.
But I don't think it would be difficult to put together a couple of classes pretty easily that would be a good, that would be focused enough on what personal telco uses on their systems and the overall scheme of things. I mean, I think that could potentially be done in like two classes.
Right.
It would be intense and it would be a lot of information, but the information could come out in that amount of time, I think.
But there are a lot of elements
Absolutely. So to do it more in detail is definitely an undertaking.
And a little bit more organized. But I definitely think it's good, and I'm sure there are people out there who would be very interested in participating.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a very diverse group, and I'm not sure quite how to handle that, but
yeah, it's hard, right? It's very hard.
Thanks, Marty.
It's my report.
Keep talking about it, and it'll get done, because I'll be involved in it if people are interested, and everybody else would be interested in it if somebody starts talking about it, I think. So, yeah.
So, Personal Telco University again is going to be happening in January, and it's going to be very important. So, keep that in mind. All right, thanks to all four groups. That was great. So the last thing, actually, there's an ad hoc hardware group. Does one of you want to talk about what you guys are? This is group four, it's the hardware group. All right.
Hang on.
I all of a sudden feel very short. That hurts emotionally. Anyways, we were up here talking about the firmware for the Linux WRT54G access points and the variants of that, and the Broadcom drivers, or the lack of, for Linux. And I can see this is quite entertaining. And that's basically, we just chatted about that for a while.
So what was the outcome of that?
Are you
going to
do it?
No.
So there's a problem with Broadcom stuff? And
there's no support for Linux right now.
Open source driver under development. It's almost done, I hear. So go look for it.
Yeah, they're mapping the chipsets right now, as he's saying.
Yeah. It's actual progress on that, though, which is like much more than what was happening last time this was discussed.
Oh, yeah. It's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
But right now, the only way to get it supported is through using the NDIS wrapper, which really sucks.
But it's better than nothing.
Yes, it's better than nothing. You can at least still use your Broadcom built-in card. But right now, as he said, there's still chipset.
There's lots of things you could do with the chipset. It has many, many features that are definitely not supported. You can't set transmit powers. You can't turn it into an AP. You can't do a lot of things that the chip should be able to do.
Yeah. Can it do host AP?
Not that I know of, no.
Thanks, Chris. All right, that's the last report, and we got one more thing to go, and then we'll wrap it up, let you guys go home. There's a personal telco instructional video, which actually embarrasses me to no end.
Ladies and gentlemen, the premiere of the PTP.
Now, there's a little bit of background behind this in that. Anyone ever see NASA TV? It's a real media streaming video, right?
John loves NASA TV.
A couple weeks ago, there was a shuttle launch, right? Amazing video, right? They had tons and tons of live coverage, awesome information. At work, I had NASA TV playing 24 hours a day. I watched it all the time. I learned a ton of stuff.
You can see all the tiles fall off.
I know more about I know more about the American Space Program now than, over the last 10 years. Right. So, the idea is to do the same thing for personal telco. Right, 24-hour streaming video channel of pre-recorded clips, but also when the need arises, when we have the gear, live segments. So, like, say, during a node install or during a monthly meeting. So personal telco television is the idea. And to get an initial piece of video for this, I whipped together a script to say, like, how do you walk into a cafe and turn on your laptop and use a hotspot? It's mostly done. I really want to thank Brian, who's behind the camera. Brian, what's your last name? Ludrich?
Yeah.
All right. He's a student at the Art Institute of Portland, and for a class project, they had to put together a video for a nonprofit, and he picked personal telco. So, so he did all the video and audio work for this and all the post-production editing. So thank you, Brian, for that. And let's play the video, and after the video, the meeting will be over, and thank you very much for coming. The Personal Telco Project is in the middle of unwiring the city of Portland. Throughout the city, you can find libraries, parks, and businesses that have free wireless internet, thanks to the efforts of volunteers and business owners. Now, one way to identify a personal telco hotspot is to look for this sticker. This sticker means that you'll find free wireless internet and that it's perfectly acceptable for the public to use. Hi.
Hey.
Do you have internet here?
We do have actually free wireless internet here.
Oh, all right. Well, I will take a mocha.
Mocha, single or double?
A double.
Okay.
All right. We've got a coffee, a laptop. Now, let's get on the net. First thing to do is boot up your computer. Open your laptop and go to your wireless control panel. That'll list the access points in the area. Find the one that says www.personaltelco.net and start to use that one. Now, open a web browser and go to any web page. The web page that you end up with is the Personal Telco splash page. The splash page presents you an opportunity to press the I agree button. This means you agree with the terms of service that says you will stay within the bounds of the law and be responsible for what you do while using this hotspot. And once you press the I agree button, you'll be sent to your original destination. Thanks for watching this how-to video, and I hope to see you at a personal telco hotspot.